The party's just begun.
Sonic Boom!
Sit, would you kindly? Where's everyone going? Bingo? Kept you waiting, huh?
Okay, we're going to cut that part out. Hey, hello, and welcome to the NPC Gaming Podcast, where noobs, wannabe pros, and occasional completionists gather to discuss the latest in the world of gaming. There are a lot of gaming podcasts out there. There's a lot of NPC podcasts out there. And you know what? We're the superior one, and if you ain't down with that, we got two words for you. Cordova?
Record it.
Oh, hey, wait, that was good. That was good.
Suck it.
It's okay. Record it's nice also. All right, cool. I'm your host, Anthony Fuentes, and with me is James Rizuela.
Yeah, I'm never late. That's all I got to say.
That's fine. But he can wait good. He's fine. Alex Cordova is the next person. Hey, there we go.
I'm not going to do the sound, but I don't know how it sounds through a microphone. Probably sounds shitty. So.
Well, there's...
Yeah, it doesn't sound that great.
Mm-mm. There's some noise back there. I don't know what that is, but we're going to keep going forward.
Be that as it may,
we are live.
We are live.
Is that your fan?
It's not my fan.
I got no fan on, dude. I'm sweating in here.
Yeah, I'm sweating too.
It's like a I hear like a feedback issue.
I don't hear it. Is it me? Hold on.
It's very likely you. Because me and James, we hear this shit.
Let me turn it down a little bit. No? Still there?
Still there. Hold on. I'm going to mute myself. Let me know if you guys hear it. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
All right, not me.
Oh, you know what? Hold on. Let me push my laptop away, dude. It's update.
It's heating up?
Yeah,
wow.
The fan. It's going up 100 miles an hour. Let me, I only have my what's it called on, too? Like, directed at me.
Maybe you need to update that laptop, baby. That is overdue.
Just a tad. Let me turn down the gain just a tad.
Jesus.
Maybe.
I don't know. Let me.
That poor laptop, dude, just chugging along, trying to live.
Chugging. Yep. Might be it. It's all right. It'll stop.
Get it like a 4-year-old MacBook or something. You know,
Is this good?
First we got Fwen being late, and then we got you updating right in the middle of an episode.
Hell yeah!
Episode 18.
Let's do it. We're learning. We're doing good. Who wants the quick bits?
I can do them real quick.
All right, James, the floor is yours.
Here are our quick bits. Ubisoft has delayed their Call of Duty clone X Defiant indefinitely. Oh no. Bobby Kotick is the return of Guitar Hero. More on Bobby Kotick a little bit later.
Got it.
PlayStation 5 cloud streaming is coming to PS Plus Premium this month. That's pretty exciting. Counter-Strike 2 was randomly thrown out there for everybody to play and has now become Valve's worst-rated game on Steam.
They need to update their laptops if they want to play it correctly.
They need to do something with the fans on all of their laptops.
They're overheating over there. I can't record on the gaming laptop or else it's going to fucking just...
We're talking about Counter-Strike 2. You need so you can play Counter-Strike 2.
It's going to be too good. I have to use a shitty laptop.
I don't even know what you're saying right now. All I gotta say is the Nintendo Switch is releasing the Star Wars Heritage Pack for $60. You hear that? $60.
Damn.
Rockstar, do you hear this? For $60.
What do you get for $60, James?
You get 7 Star Wars games. Ooh. Not 1, not 2, not 5. You get 7. Force Unleashed, Republic Commando, Episode 1 Racer, Jedi Knight 1, Jedi Knight 2, KOTOR 1 and KOTOR 2.
Damn.
Hell yeah.
Ooh, I don't think it's Switch exclusive anyways, but Switch is getting the only physical release, I believe.
I see.
But regardless, it is available on PlayStation, Xbox.
Regardless, these are games that the Switch can handle. Anyway, moving on. Halo Infinite finally gets Firefight. Footage shown at HCS this past.
That's the Halo Championship Series, my bad.
I don't know what the hell that is, but that's what it is. HCS, baby. And then Netflix is attempting to get GTA as a streaming game on their platform. Good fucking luck.
that's gonna run great.
Yeah.
Ooh. All right. What do you guys think of the quick bits? What's your take?
X Defiant. They had a perfectly good opportunity to make some noise. Ubisoft did. but I heard the beta just sucked. A lot of things, balls, ass, all that.
Balls and ass.
Balls and ass.
Yep. A double whammy. The only thing, let it be known right here, episode 18, October, whatever. I don't know. Do you want to reveal the date that we're doing it for? Yes. I don't know.
Late October.
Oh,
hey. Okay,
whoa. Late October 2023. This is the only time that Bobby Kotick will ever get any praise from the NPC podcast.
That's true.
Because if there's one game that needs to come back to bring the world together right now, people, it's Guitar Hero and Rock Band.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then, you know, cloud streaming, okay, I guess, you know, if people want to use that, I'd rather just play the game that I own. But, you know, good, you know, some people enjoy that. Good, I'm not going to knock on them.
I like it on Xbox Game Pass if Sony has the right infrastructure. Thumbs up for me, baby.
Okay, all right. And then Counter-Strike 2 becoming the worst rated game on Steam out of nowhere. I believe this is the cancel culture going after Counter-Strike because instead of releasing number 2 as like a side-by-side with Counter-Strike Global Offensive, they actually replaced Global Offensive with Counter-Strike 2.
Oh, so, okay. That's what you mean cancel.
There was a there was a video, though, I think IGN posted it, Kotaku, I can't remember which one it was, of like the quick fix in which people can still go back to Global Offensive. So there's a way to go back.
It's still play, like, it's almost like the same as Global Offensive. So these people getting all butthurt over it too. I mean, I'm sure there's little minute details that we can get torn apart on, but like honestly, when I played it, I'm like, yeah, it still feels like that Global Offensive. I mean, it's not bad. I don't see why people would say it's bad, but I mean, it still has that Global Offensive stuff, like loot boxes and all that shit that, you know, if you want to ignore, you totally can. Like, I can give two shits about opening up a fucking new knife or something, you know. I'm just there.
Yeah, people bitched about CSGO though very early on as well. I think this is just the Counter-Strike cycle, because I remember 1.6 or whatever also got fucking rocked, so it's just how it is, you know.
Yeah, and then, you know, the Heritage Pack, you know, that's what's up. Those are all bangers, maybe except episode 1 Racer, but you know, if that gets you guys
going, shut your fucking mouth. It's the Heritage, not Hate Pack, okay?
I mean, you know, nobody wants more pod racing. Nobody wants that. Let's just delete that from the Star Wars universe.
If you don't win in that game and it fucking a sound clip doesn't play up, it's working, then I don't want it. I don't fucking want it.
No, dude, I just want Sebulba. That's all I want. I just need to hear that and then I'm happy. Give me some Sebulba.
Yeah, speaking of happy though, Halo Infinite finally getting Firefight. That's what's up. A big update dropped yesterday, I believe.
Oh,
that
shit.
Includes where people right now can drop AI into their own maps and shit, so they can make their custom Firefight right now, but the official Firefight playlist doesn't come out till later. Unannounced date, but it is coming this season, which is like, I don't know, they're usually about two, three months long. So I was happy about that. And then, you know, Netflix, if you're still paying for Netflix, you're a tool. I'm tired of it.
They just hiked their prices. They just hiked their prices.
$23.
I just want to go back real quick and say Halo Infinite came out 2 years ago. So,
yep.
You know, good job on finally adding Firefight a fucking whopping 2 years later.
Two years later, they barely added Infection earlier this year.
Oh, my God. Infection was good. I will give Infection some credit. We'll see how Firefight is. But, yeah.
Yep.
Feels real games as a service-y, unfortunately.
Mm. Yeah, nowadays. Mm-hmm. Real infinite of them, you know?
Hey! Hey!
I don't understand how they're going to put you're going to just be able to play GTA from the app?
Yeah, I think you stream it. Like, it's all their other shit.
Yeah, all their other stupid games that you
can. And what's GTA? On. Is it all GTA or is it GTA 5 or what?
They didn't specify. They're trying to just get a GTA game or GTA games on. They've been pushing to get Grand Theft Auto on there. But I would imagine, like, they're going to try to get 5 because everybody plays 5. But, you know, maybe the Liberty City Stories or, like, you know, the trilogy or whatever it is. I'm sure they can get that at least.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I think of Netflix, I think of Gaming Boys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
That's sarcasm, yeah. But
imagine how many games you can buy if you just didn't pay for Netflix and held on to that $23 and checked out sales. Yeah. Just checked out sales.
Yep. I forgot that Everybody who has a Netflix account can download an app to play their mobile games. And let's see, how many people do? Yeah, fucking nobody. Mm. Nobody cares. Nobody cares, Netflix. Stop it right now.
That was actually new information for me, so okay.
Yeah, they were like, they had one of the only ones that I was remotely interested in playing was it was just a chess game that had like Queen's Gambit characters in it, but that's it. And I was like, because I like playing chess. And mm-hmm. I was like, that would have been cool, but I'm not going to download an app just so I can play crappy Netflix games. Like, dude, stop.
Buy a chessboard, baby. Buy a chessboard. Yeah. You're okay.
I have a multitude of consoles that I would rather play than Netflix. Yeah.
No, I'm with you on that one. And then just back on that Heritage Pack, that is a huge deal right there. That is a huge deal. That's a great deal. Digitally, this does sometimes go for $30. So if you guys don't care about physical media, just saying, it's a great deal when you catch it on sale. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I think when Guitar Hero does come back, courtesy of Gaddick, it's going to be like one of those like Instagram story TikToks. Like people, it's going to be like a movement. One of those things,
which
I think.
Which is bullshit, because it's going to be just like that meme that I posted when the Mario movie came out with that one dude saying, you don't know fucking shit about Mario. I'm going to say these fucking tweeners and these fucking TikTokers saying, you don't know shit about Guitar Hero, dude.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We look at the set list and all the oldies are going to be like, what the fuck is this shit? Yeah. And all the youngins are going to be like, what? Yep. They're going to have the Taylor Swift edition. It's going to be the whole shebang.
Oh, shit.
Mm. Yep.
I know a lot of Swifties. It's going to happen.
Jeez.
Any other further thoughts on this, James?
I mean, that Heritage Pack is awesome for anybody that's not played any of these games. Like, they're all incredibly good games, except for the Pod Racing one. KOTOR 1 and 2 isn't worth $60, but, those two alone, easily $20 by themselves, I would pay.
Yeah, definitely. Jedi Knight 2, fucking Jedi Academy. Amazing Jedi Academy, game.
Yeah. Force Unleashed, incredible game. Yeah, that's a really cool, really awesomely priced pack for anybody. Absolutely go pick that up, especially on the Switch. Except for you were going to join the thousands of people who are upset about KOTOR 2 not releasing the fixed version. But hey, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I know. We talked about that before, though. Again, they're trying to compensate people, but they're all compensating with games from this pack. So, consider it a bonus.
I got Force Unleashed for free because of that. I complained. I made it sound like it was the worst thing ever. I'm like, I bought KOTOR 2 because you guys promised me this. And then they're like, here, sir, here's a free game voucher. And I'm like, all right, sweet. I'm good.
We're sorry.
We're sorry. We're sorry.
All right. Well, good quick bits there. A lot of interesting stuff, but we have much more interesting news happening right here. So, Cordova, take it away.
To no one's surprise, it is now official. I'm sure people who are gamers already know of this, but the PlayStation 5 has a new model, like we've been reporting since we pretty much started this podcast.
Does it run quieter than your laptop?
No, it's done updating.
It's a very good question.
Hold on, let me take my hair bot off real quick. Let me see. Oh, nope, never mind. You just said it and it's still going.
Yeah.
Right, anyways. Sony's console, refresh.
That's my bad. Typo up top.
Wait, let me read it. Let me read it first. Like, but it's Sony's console Fresh is finally upon us.
The PlayStation Fresh, dude. You hear about that?
Yeah, that's the name of the slim. It's called the PlayStation Fresh.
Sony's console.
You need a fresh new laptop over there, dude. That's what you need.
Yeah. Console refresh is finally upon us, now supporting an optional detachable drive and profile that's 30% smaller than the current PlayStation 5. Oh, that was a fucking adventure right there to get through that sentence.
I may have been a little turnt when I started writing these. I'm sorry.
Support option? Detach?
Sporting on option.
I'm burgundy?
They inadvertently announced a price increase for the digital version, though, which is not $50 more expensive, but it does come with the option to add said detachable disk drive, and a small increase in storage, which I believe is now an official 1 terabyte instead of the 825 terabytes that they give you with that bullshit formatting.
Such
that they always...
an obscure number.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fans should be able to get over it pretty quickly, seeing as a major game just dropped that is going to push a lot of PlayStation 5s, known as Spider-Man 2, which I'm sure me and James will be playing in about 3 to 4 hours.
Damn. Mm-hmm.
So, also, on top of that, they did, there's heavily rumored that there's going to be a PlayStation 5 Slim official Spider-Man, like, pack with that. I don't know if that means they're getting an official, like, you know, the side plates, which is bullshit, that we reported on a couple episodes ago. You know, what is it, $60 for two side plates?
I have Venom side plates that I was gifted like a long time ago.
I'm about to buy some off Amazon.
I haven't put them on yet.
You should tonight, dude, before 9 o'clock.
That's right, dude. Make it a whole event.
They'll be like, yep, dude, I got an official Spider-Man 2 plate without anybody else knowing.
This is 24 inches of Venom right here.
Yeah, I was gonna say, James is 24 inches of Venom. Fuck that, 19 inches of Venom. Yeah, but I'm not sure if they added the price in that blog post about how much the drive costs and all that.
Yeah, if I remember, I think it's like $80, if I remember correctly. Okay. Yeah,
I was gonna say, I feel like it was pretty steep, but at the same time, you know, I'm good with my fat PS5. Like, if it ever breaks down, sure, I'll get the Slim, but I mean, kudos to them for thinking of like a modular type of setup. It looks pretty futuristic and cool, but
I dig it. That aspect of it. Also, the bundle for the Spider-Man 2, actually, that news I didn't end up putting in here, but it just dropped like a couple hours ago. It's still the leak, but it's $560. So you get a 10% or $10, you know, difference there. And it launches November 8th. So November 8th is Black what Friday. They're looking at.
Yeah. Holidays. Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. November 8th. Yeah. So that's what I think that's what people are assuming is going to be the official PlayStation Slims being out in the wild.
I believe also, I'm not sure if there's a time limit on this, but I think I read that if you get a new PlayStation 5 console, they're giving you a free game as well, like a voucher system when you set it up. I believe. I'm not sure. That might have been a little promo, like in October.
Talking dirty on this podcast. Yeah, I got to put the explicit warning going on before that one. Hey.
Look, I would say for anybody listening to this, if that happens, you get a free voucher, do yourself a favor and go buy Cyberpunk. And I would have never said that like 2 years ago, but go do that.
That's true.
It's a brand new game. It's amazing. It plays fucking tits on the PS5.
I was saying, you can actually play it on the PlayStation 5 now?
Yeah, it's a brand new game, people. That's what I'm saying.
And then what are you guys thinking about the Spider-Man 2 reviews before we move on here?
I'm not going to pay attention to any of them because Spider-Man was amazing. Miles Morales was amazing. 100% believe in this game, so I don't really give a shit who's rating it what. I pre-ordered it already a while ago, sitting there ready, you know, for 9 o'clock. I'm gonna play the shit out of it, so that's what I think.
Same. I think the people, and it's funny, I saw a tweet that someone said that like all these independent type of reviewers, you know, on Twitter and blogging and all that, they all gave it like perfect scores, right? Mm-hmm. Guess what the major publisher the publication that gave it an average, just above average, of an 8 IGN. Out of 10. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then they also gave Mario Wonder a 9 out of 10. And it's like, bro, like, come on. I think the last game they gave a 10 out of 10 was Starfield, no?
I think it was Tears of the Kingdom, no?
Tears of the Kingdom.
Okay.
Starfield didn't get a 10. Starfield got like a 7 and 8. They always give everything a 7 or 8, so I don't even pay attention.
Well, they called them 7GN in the comments. So.
I read their review, and I was like, let me see what they're going to say about it. I just saw like the picture of it, and they're like, you know, it's a great story, but they do little to, you know, expand on the previous game. And I'm like, okay, so Tears of the Kingdom did that, but that got a 10. And then this is the same thing, but it doesn't get a 10. Like, it gets an 8, and it's like, you know, I don't know.
Think about the way I think of it is Arkham Asylum to Arkham Knight. Arkham City, right? That expanded it, and yeah, Arkham City is a 10. But, like, at the same time, if you go back and play them now, it's like, okay, they added the big open world, but the gameplay is still the same.
It's still the same. Yeah, that makes sense.
And that's how I view Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2. Like, just honestly, seeing everything.
I would give Arkham Asylum a 9, I would give Arkham City an 8, and then I would give Arkham Knight a 10, because I feel like the story I don't know. I always like it's the story for me. I mean, if it's not, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You don't need to change everything about the game for it to be good. Like literally, you get a like the fact that we get a switch between the pair and Venom's in it, and like there's new powers. I'm like, cool. Like, give me all of that and give me that amazing story like they did in the first one and Miles Morales. And cool, that's a 10 for me. Like, you don't have to go and invent some fucking new Spider-Man technology for it to be like a great game. You know what I mean? Like,
especially.
I
mean,
Jedi Fallen Order and the Jedi Survivor is a perfect example of that. Apart from the issues, you know, that we talked about, the buggy issues, they took the same elements and they just added extra stuff, but didn't really, like, it wasn't some game that was, like, otherworldly crazy different than the first game. And it was fucking good, and the story is fucking amazing.
Yeah, they took Fallen Order and they were like, you know what? We heard what people wanted. They wanted this, this, and that, and they gave it to us, right? Like, I was not expecting as many new forms as we got. I was like, I was expecting, like, maybe, like, one or two, but they gave us, like, almost double the original forms that we had in Fallen Order. And I'm like, all right, fuck me. I don't even know what to be now. There's too many options.
Yeah, but same.
I read IGN's review, too, and it's funny because they were, like criticizing the open world elements, and I'm like, dude, that was like the best part of Spider-Man 1, to where you can literally just be swinging around the city and you get like a notification to there's a crime going on. You have the option to be a superhero and be like, you know what, I'm gonna go stop that, or oh no, I'm good, I'm gonna go play the main game. So the fact that there's more of that in this is just like, yeah, that's what we wanted. We didn't want a whole fucking change to the formula, you know, like the formula was good.
Well, there are changes that make sense in the context of the formula too, like when you look at City and Night, like that makes sense, you know, all the little things that they do to change it in the story, and you know, the scenarios speak and for then, the game as it goes forward,
right. Yeah, and then it's funny because one of the parts in the review talked about Venom, how the Venom storyline is one of the best, if not the best superhero storyline, quote unquote, in like a video game, right? And I was like, okay, like you already know how people love Venom and you're gonna like hype that up and then just say, yeah, but it's still 8, like we're good. It's like like you're calling it the best superhero storyline in a superhero video game, and then you're gonna say like, yeah, it's just 8, like we're good, guys.
No, they know they didn't add a spider farm simulator or other innovations there, so 2 points down from 10. I'm sorry, that's an 8. It's an 8, sir.
Dude, and think about it, James, like Spider-Man 1, like how amazing was it that there was little to no microtransactions? Like literally, they could have went all Fortnite and said, you guys want suits? Pay us. Nope, you can unlock every fucking suit in the game.
Yeah, like, and I was going to say that with the crimes, and like doing those things would allow you to get the tokens to unlock suits, so it made it worth it, instead of being like, oh, I'm gonna keep doing these things that don't really matter. I mean, obviously you're role playing as being Spider-Man, but like you get tokens and use those tokens to unlock more suits that do different things, and like it made it way worth it to be like, well, I'm gonna go and stop these guys and do all this stuff. And yeah, so I mean, if they have that plus, you know, I've been trying to dodge spoilers, but they're like, there's a bunch of articles like every suit, and it's like, I'm sure they added even more suits this time around, and there were already a ton of suits in the first one, but I'm sure, like, you know, I've seen a few of them online that from idiots that are just posting pictures, but you know what I mean, like now it's like, cool, give me more crime stopping stuff, give me more events that pop up so I can get those suits, you know, I'm fine with that.
I think one was like I said, I hold it on the same level as Asylum and City as far as superheroes, and I'm not even a big Spider-Man fan. It's just the fact that it's like that good, and you know, calls back to that nostalgia of the you know, the movies and the series growing up.
They understand Spider-Man. Makes sense. That makes sense.
And it's like, dude, the story in number one was so damn good. It's like, if they're saying that the Venom story is even better than one, it's like, whew.
I mean, you guys are gonna find out in a couple hours. In a couple hours, it's time.
Look for our follow-up next episode. We'll see. Might dedicate a whole section to it. We'll see.
I think it's a good idea. I think so. Now, when much drearier news, you better get that Spider-Man physical copy soon, right, James?
Yeah. So, or if not, you can go out and get the PlayStation Slim digital version, because R.I.P. physical media. Enjoy your physical media while you can. Physical media sections have decreased in stores across the nation, and now two of the biggest retailers plan on getting rid of them for good. Best Buy and Walmart are going to drop physical media from their stores as early as quarter one of 2024. More retailers expected to follow suit. I am a huge fan of digital now. I don't even remember the last time I bought a physical game. So this really doesn't affect me. I know people want physical editions, and I get that. Especially, like, if you take them to GameStop. But, like, I stopped doing that because I'm like, I'm just going to leave these games here on my consoles and go back and play them eventually. You know what I mean? Or get to them and, you know, I don't know. They're there. I know people are divided on this. But, I mean, it is pretty nuts that, I mean, it, to be honest, just look at it, it's technology is evolving in the way that it did with music. Everybody had to go to record stores, then everybody had to go buy CDs, and now CDs have become obsolete, essentially, because everybody's doing digital.
Yeah, and records streaming. Are so, like, niche. Those are becoming the thing. Get a record player, make it nostalgic.
Right.
But, like, yeah, games themselves, if you look at what Best Buy's been looking like for the past 2 years, like, this is already on the way. That's a sad place to walk around now.
I mean, case in point, they used to carry CDs and they don't anymore.
They stopped.
I don't even remember how long ago they stopped that, but they stopped doing that because, like, nobody was buying them anymore. Everybody's just on Spotify or YouTube or iTunes or what have you. So, I mean, this is just something that, you know, it makes sense. Like, the writing was already on the wall. Physical media's out. Just buy everything digitally. There you go.
Yeah. I would say the biggest RIP is collector's editions. Those were pretty cool, but also all the extra shit they gave me, I never remember where it's at.
But collector's editions used to come with the game, now they don't.
Yeah, now they're coming with the code. I believe that is the only thing that should have a physical edition now.
Yes.
Are those. Everything else, fine, don't. You can just do a code, doesn't matter. But like if you're paying $250, $300 for a collector's edition, that shit better come with the physical game. That's the only the instance in which they should be doing that. If not, like, whatever. Like I said, I buy everything digital because, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Fuck you, GameStop. You can't have my money.
I believe that Best Buy, though, cleared up their comments and said they're going to be dropping music and movies first. Mm-hmm. That they're going to still carry physical games, right? Mm. But on that note, I know for a fact that Target, like, nowadays, Target is the one that has, like, the most physical games. Because when I go into Best Buy sometimes, just to wander, and it's like, dude, like, there's one row of PlayStation games, there's one row of Xbox games, and there's one row of Switch games. And I'm like, this is it? Like, fuck, man. I used to come in here and, like, there used to be three rows of PlayStation.
I used to love hanging out at Best Buy and be like, oh, I can get this. That looks pretty cool. Now I'm like, what the fuck is this piece of shit?
Yeah. So, and I'm a big whore. I'll say right now, you know, timestamp it. I'm a big whore for physical because I just don't like the fact that they, meaning the big corporations, can just take away our games when they want, man. But, I get it because digital is extremely convenient. But it's like, I don't know, there's just something about having the physical copy to where I can still have it and go play it later, even if they take the servers offline, shit like that. That's my thing with digital, is like, I want to pay for the game and have it. I don't want them to have the power to do that. But
yeah, all digital ruins preservation efforts, to be honest. Yeah. That's the biggest like flaw for this. But
yeah, but I get it. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm all about the convenience, though. That's where I fucked myself on that one. It's just, now I need a Blu-ray player, so I'm going to get the disc PS5 Slim at some point. Probably this year. But it is one of those things that, like, you know, even then I barely look at my fucking... I don't look at my Blu-rays. They're behind clothes.
Well, it's crazy to me that they're going to be dropping movies, dude, because Best Buy used to have some good-ass, like, movie deals.
Yes! Fucking bangers, dude!
I mean, every time I go to Target or I go to Walmart, I always look in those bargain bins, and I find good stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
And, like, they should just do those. And I'd be like, dude, I'll go Best Buy and, like, I'll drop, like, $50 on, like, 100 movies. I don't care.
Dude. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Garage sale Best Buy, dude. That's what it's going to be from now on. Mm-hmm.
It is pretty crazy. But, again, like, movies especially, because it's like, dude, everybody's streaming now. Like, you know, counter Alex's point, even though they could take it away, you can still buy new movies for like $20 on whatever, you know, streaming app you have.
Yeah. And it's yours.
Me and Gabe are turning our, we're having a little competition about who can make the Vudu collection their own little personal Netflix, because Vudu has those type of good deals too, where you can get three movies for $15 and shit, right?
Yeah.
But the only thing about that is that I don't like is the fact that it's like, it's just like something about, like, if the internet's out, you can't watch your movies, right?
Yeah.
It's like, that's the only thing that keeps me from going all digital, is if the internet goes out or there's a fucking, you know, an outage, it's like, okay, what do I do? Oh, I can still pop in my game. I can pop in a movie and watch it, right? Mm-hmm. When you're all digital and you need the internet, that's where it comes into play, and it's like, yeah.
No, yeah. That's what the movie stuff thing. Hits right there. No, yeah, I'm with you on that one.
That's my only thing with that one, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely, I mean, obviously games aren't the same because you can just play a game offline. Unless, of course, it's one of those stupid games that you can't, then, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, but then it was your stupid fault for buying the stupid game. So. Yeah.
So basically, you're all stupid.
Yep. Mm. Speaking of stupid, though. Next story, huh? Yeah. Speaking of stupid, greedy corporations, sayonara, Mr. Bobby Kotick.
Kotick.
Well, with Microsoft's acquisition of Activision, Bobby Kotick is officially out as CEO of said company. The long-tenured and controversial figure is finally gone, and the internet is celebrating his departure while he cries into heavily, of course, into wads of, just, I'm sure, plenty of bills. He engineered the Activision-Blizzard merger, pushed for the annual Call of Duty release schedule. He oversaw major cover-ups of sexual harassment and discrimination at all Activision studios.
Mm-hmm.
And he did once threaten to kill an assistant over voicemail. He will be leaving with a payout of $400 million.
Oh,
discuss.
My
discuss.
God. Are you kidding me?
Hey, that's
$400 million, last reported.
That's his severance? Are you
That's
kidding
me? That's his severance.
Me?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
What was his, that absurd comment we had with him where he said he was going to, it was something about how he was trying to relate, where he said something like, oh, yeah, my mom used to be a worker or something. Like, wasn't that like in an early episode? That
yeah,
was there, like,
no, yeah. His mom was working class or something, yeah, and she was like.
He was trying to say some shit like he relates with the strikers and all that, like the people who are striking. And, yeah, he's a real piece of shit, dude.
I agree. Yeah,
he has a very punchable face right next to yours, Flynn.
Well, thank you. I would like $400 million for one punch. That'd be fun. I'd take it.
I'll tell you what, Flynn. If and when I ever get rich enough to pay you $400 million, I'll pay you $400 million to change your name to Anthony Kotick.
Oh, Jesus. But then I'm going to have to tell everybody my name in that tone. That's
yeah. For the rest of your life, that's how you have to say it. And anytime you come in the room, that's how we all have to say it. Kotick!
Sir, is it for interview? Is there an Anthony Kotick here? Ma'am, it's Anthony Kotick!
I'm a little sad that we're not going to be able to do that anymore. There's not going to be any awesome, absurd headlines or ridiculous stories about this guy anymore. That's the only downfall of this news.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Our shit talking opportunities are now limited, unfortunately.
They're very limited.
But I mean,
he might show up, dude, but here and there, you never know.
Yeah,
no, he's definitely gonna be part of like another big company. He's gonna take over some shit, probably some cloud streaming game service or whatever it is. And he's gonna think it's the biggest thing possible. And yeah, he's not gonna go away. $400 million is never enough for these fucking people. Yeah, and if you ever look at like some of these cases and cover-ups, first of all, they're horrendous, but there are also interesting Bobby Kotick blurbs all throughout that are like, oh yeah, this guy's a fucking psycho. This guy's actually kind of a psycho. But yeah, you know what? I can't say I'm happy with his changes to, you know, the closing of Vicarious Visions and merging everything in Call of Duty. And, you know, all those years Blizzard was just back and forth between like being good and being really shit. Like, most of these things were very consistent before Kotick, and then afterwards it seemed it was more money grubby. But hey, it's Microsoft's problem now, so you know, him and Phil Spencer can have a drink or whatever on some rooftop, do their little fucking thing. Can't say I'm gonna miss him, but let's see where he lands. I don't know, maybe he'll fuck something else up. Any other thoughts on our boy?
I don't think he'll be missed, but you know, before he leaves, though, bring back Guitar Hero and then leave.
Yeah, I mean, that's his parting gift to everybody. he's bringing back arguably the best party game that's ever been invented. I still cannot fucking believe he's getting $400 million.
And it does hurt. It hurts a little bit.
Absolutely insane to me, but, you know, whatever. Got it!
Yeah, let's see. We're going to get one more in. One more in. Sayonara, Mr. Bobby. Got it!
Yeah, fuck off, dude. I'm going to do the Christian go fuck yourself, Bobby. Got it!
Woo! All right, well... Leaky rumor real time, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see what we got in store coming up. Who wants this first one?
I guess I'll take it since it's a Switch.
Okay, you guys can go. I'm good.
All right, so the latest news regarding the Switch's successor states that the new console is coming in two different models, which I was going to ask you, Fwen. Isn't there one model that is backwards compatible and one that is not?
That's right. I just read that too. Mm-hmm.
A little weird. A little weird. It's a bold,
they're saying bold. Not backwards compatible for physical media, though. So it might be another digital case.
Okay. All right. I mean, we'll see if Nintendo gets with the times there.
Yeah.
But it will start at a $400 price point. It will include, what is that? AR is augmented reality?
Augmented reality. That's right. Okay. Probably another camera on there.
Yeah, augmented reality features, and there will be no OLED, as we reported before, at least at launch. I'm sure they'll get some, you know, money out of us later when they want to release it.
If they make it a Zelda Special Edition, you know I'm doing it.
Yeah.
I am doing it. So, they got me.
So, a new 3D Mario game is expected for launch, as well as cross-generational release of Metroid Prime 4. The famous plumber, complete with new voice actor, is also sending off the current Switch with releases of both Super Mario RPG, Paper Mario Thousand Year Door, and the newly released Super Mario Brothers Wonders, Wonder, which is also getting tremendous reviews.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they're ballsy enough to release two different models at the same time, you know, I mean, we'll see what they got. But
what's going to be the difference between the models?
Lack of a physical card is what's being speculated, and then all digital. So, you know?
Okay, but they're all... So they're pulling a PS5, essentially, and an Xbox.
Yep, that's exactly what it seems like they're doing. So, yeah. And from all the reports that I've read, it's basically guaranteed Mario is going to launch this console. It's most likely going to be the sequel to Odyssey, or whatever they did with Bowser's Fury, but times a million. So, you know? And both were really good, so I'm with that.
The AR features, though, is what I'm interested in, because AR features, to me, sounds like it's going to be another 3DS,
mm-hmm.
fucking card, put your face on a fucking balloon that floats around type of thing, which is like, yeah, I'm good on that.
I forgot about the cards.
I don't know what they're going to do to push augmented reality. Like, I don't know. I don't get it. But, I mean, you know, if they want to get risky.
I mean, you know, like Pokemon Go.
Yeah, I've seen Pokemon Go. Mm-hmm.
You know, something like that. You know, playing a Pokemon game in augmented reality on your Switch would be cool, I guess.
I mean, are they going to do a full-edged Mario Kart like that Mario... What was it called? Mario...
Circuit?
Racer? Yeah. Circuit? Is that what it is?
I think it's Circuit, yeah.
Mm. I mean, it looks cool, but it's like, okay. I mean...
It seems gimmicky. Like, that seems actually very, very gimmicky. Like, they'll forget about it after about a year or so. But there's going to be, like, some franchise plays with some front-and-center AR features, which is the Nintendo way. That's just how Nintendo does things. They forget after, like, 2 years.
Yep. I was going to say, I can't remember one thing about the 3DS where I used that AR besides the stupid balloon game that I played when there was no games to play. And then when all the games started coming out, it's like, all right, I don't need this anymore.
What's the fucking Woody gift? Like, I'm not playing with you anymore. Yep. Yeah, but I mean, it looks like we're going to have, like, the next year cycle from Wonder onward is going to be just a Mario marathon, which is pretty good. I mean, again, we get two RPGs, two of the best RPGs that he's ever been in, so I'm good with that. Mario Wonder, I'm playing at, like, 9:30 tonight, so I'll let you guys know how that is.
Oh,
apparently,
shit, it launches today, too?
It launches today. I put the voucher up on it, man.
All right.
But, man, those reviews have been really good. Like, across the board, apparently, it just shits on the new Super Mario Brothers series. Damn. So, you know, I'll take it. Well, worth the voucher for sure. I don't know. Switch 2, we don't know for sure all this stuff. 400 seems reasonable, I guess, because it's going to apparently be pretty powerful. But unless things are confirmed, you know, cautious optimism, I would say, because it's Nintendo. They will pull the rug out from under you on something. That's how they usually work.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
Yeah. Any other thoughts?
I mean, no OLED is kind of bullshit, but, you know, whatever. Yeah. What are you going to do, I guess?
As long as it's not shitty as the Switch LCD. Because, like, there's some good LCD screens out there. There's some good ones. If Switch gets the Apple ones, I'm good with that. But it's Nintendo. They want to keep it cheap. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, James, you want to ring us out with this one?
Sure. Last of Us Part 2 Remastered leaked again.
Hey.
One of gaming's worst-kept secrets gets another hint that it is getting closer to release. Courtesy of yet another LinkedIn profile update from a lead outsourced artist, The Last of Us 2 Remastered seems to be getting closer to an unveiling. This little slip joins the other revealing slip from the lead composer back in July during our Episode 11 coverage. Check that out. Mm. It's only a matter of time until they officially announce it, which they should have already. I don't know what the hell they're waiting for, but there you go.
What are you waiting for?
It's like that Anakin and Padme meme, dude. Like, they're going to announce it, right? And he just stares at her, right? Right?
Yeah, yeah. I at this point, just you know, we all know, you know, it was inevitable. Just fucking release it.
I'm just confused on, like, what actually they're going to remaster. Because, like I said, like, The Last of Us 2 already has a 60 FPS free patch on the PlayStation 5, so it's like, what more can you add to that?
I mean, maybe they add more stuff, more story. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what exactly they're going to be adding or cleaning up, but whatever.
That's like the only thing they could add, because there is, like, Last of Us 1 had story DLC, one thing called Left Behind. Last of Us 2 doesn't have any DLC, so maybe that
no
is
what DLC.
Yeah.
Oh zero. Shit.
And it's already like a fucking 40-hour game, so yeah.
I can see that then. Maybe like a small little DLC or side story or something that goes along with the package, and of course enhanced graphics and all the fixings that come with a typical remaster. So hey, you know, if you want a PS5, a version of The Last of Us 2 that can only be played on the PS5, it is yours. Oh, yeah. It's on the way.
Coming. It's coming.
Enjoy. All right. Well, we got an interesting segment though. What do you guys think? Who would like to ring this in? I mean, I'll ring it in right now. Let's do it real quick. Because I'm not going to be saying much about this. So this is your guys' take right here. But, you know what? Every once in a while, some of our favorite publishers here release listicles and all these things right there. And sometimes they get it right. Sometimes it's kind of shit. So with that, we got our experts here on the Metal Gear series, Mr. Cordova and, of course, Mr. Brizuela, on what's a current list that IGN is running. So IGN recently listed regarding the 10 best Metal Gear bosses. This is in this new segment called Did They Get It Right? We'll see if the major publication got it right, or if this is clickbait territory. What do you guys think? What's the list? Let us inform the listeners.
Here, I'll run through the list and then we can get into it. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
So, number one, the end from Metal Gear Solid 3. Number two, the boss from Metal Gear Solid 3.
No, you're going backwards, all right.
Oh, yeah. I'm going from what they posted. I can go, yeah, okay, sorry.
It's not counting down at all.
We're doing count up.
I do it the way I want to do it. I'm going to restart. Okay, restart. Ready? Just pretend like you didn't hear any of those top three. Number 10, Metal Gear Rex from Metal Gear Solid. Number 9, Cyborg Ninja from Metal Gear Solid. Number 8, Shagohod from Metal Gear Solid 3. Number 7, Fat Man from Metal Gear Solid 2, which is arguably one of the better named bosses. Number 6, Liquid Ocelot from Metal Gear Solid 4. Number 5, Sniper Wolf from Metal Gear Solid. Number 4, bah, 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 The Sorrow from Metal Gear Solid 3. Number 3, Psycho Mantis from Metal Gear Solid. This is all new information, remember. Number 2, The Boss from Metal Gear Solid 3. And number 1, The End from Metal Gear Solid 3.
Interesting. Okay. Now, I'm a noob at this, so you guys take the fucking floor. Is the list good? Is the list good? I gotta know as a newbie, is the list good?
I would flop the top four. I would move those around. I would move those around.
I would move around the top five, actually.
Okay, top five, sure. the top four for me, so this is how I would rank it. Mm-hmm. I would rank The Boss at number one, Psycho Mantis at number two, The Sorrow at number three, and then The End at number four. That's what I would rank it.
Oh, okay. Flipping it.
So I would rank, I would keep the End at number one for, we'll get into it right now, but The End at number one. Number two, I would put Psycho Mantis just for the sheer, what's the word I'm looking for here? The sheer, like...
Fuckery?
No, like it was the first of its kind.
The ingenuity.
Yeah, the ingenuity of it.
Okay,
yeah.
And that's the one where you do the second controller plug-in, right?
Yeah. We'll get into that.
So one, The End, two, Psycho Mantis. Three, I would put Liquid Ocelot because the Metal Gear Solid 4 is the send-off, quote-unquote, of the franchise back then. Until he did Phantom Pain. And at the time, that boss battle was like creme de la croix right there, okay? Mm-hmm. Number four, I would keep the Sorrow there. I like the Sorrow fight. It has a unique twist on it. Number five is where I would put the boss. Like, I get it. It was a very... Don't get me wrong. Metal Gear Solid 3 is like definitely top three of my favorite games of all time. But the boss fight is like... I mean, it's a fight, and it's pulling on your emotions, right? They didn't do anything crazy except at the end of that fight. Mm. But Sniper Wolf is not top five. It was a cool fight. It was a sniper fight. The boss is, I mean, you know, some people might fight on this, but I don't think the boss is top three. I mean, it was a cool fight, but it wasn't, like, game-defining. And to me, the game-defining is The End, Liquid Ocelot, and Psycho Mantis. In my eyes, top three game-defining.
I would even take Sniper Wolf out, and I'd put, like, the Fury there. Mm. Or put the Fury somewhere on the list and take Sniper Wolf out, because it's like, it was okay. It's not bad, but I don't think it's a top 10.
Yeah.
But for me, I think the reason why I put the boss at number one is because of those emotions. Like, for me, it's like, yeah, it wasn't like a groundbreaking fight per se, but it was cool because it combines, like, the action with the CQC that you use as Snake. But it's like, it's got this really good, really amazing music, and
the visuals and the emotion of it.
It's cinematic, and I think that's why I love it more than. As far as, like, you know, being... Because obviously, like, the Sorrow and the End and everybody else, that feels like a video game fight, you know, all the way through. But the boss is more cinematic. Like, you're playing a movie.
Yeah, I get that.
But I don't know. Maybe it's because I beat the End a little faster than a lot of other people.
Well, I was going to say, the End to me is, like, if there's a thing or if there's a boss fight where you're like, hey, I've never played a Metal Gear Solid game. What are the boss fights like? I would literally describe the end of them because
should we talk spoilers since it's coming out?
I kind of want to get the collection actually, so if we could hold off on some spoilers.
Okay, right. I'll just say this: the reason why I do agree with him at number one and why I agree with Alex is because it's not only just the fight itself, but it's the extra things. It's the extra things that you can do. That I'm not going to spoil, but there's extra stuff that you can do. And Fwen, you can find out this later. We'll tell you later after.
Yeah, we'll tell you after you play it.
Yeah, after you play it. But, like, there's a few extra secret things that can happen. And it's Kojima writing. Where you're just like, dude, it's the same as Psycho Mantis. Like, taking out your controller and plugging it into two players to not get mind read was like, what the fuck? Like, I would have never thought about that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what the extra secret thing is about the end that we won't spoil here because the collection is coming out and for people who haven't played. But, like, just the boss fight itself, it's fucking spectacular. It really is.
That, like, to me, that is the premier Kojima Metal Gear Solid boss fight right there is the end. Like, I can't get over it. That's number one. But go ahead, James. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. The same thing also occurs with the Sorrow, which we won't spoil.
Yeah,
but that too. The Sorrow is such a unique boss battle that, like, it's something that you don't see coming. Like, I've never seen... Like, after I finally got to play, and like me and Alex talked about it, I was like, dude, I've never in my life played boss battles like that exist in Metal Gear Solid 3, and I've still never played boss battles that are that unique. And every single one of them offers like a completely different thing. It's not some like boring boss where you go in and you just dodge moves, or you like you have to get used to them doing it. They're just all so vastly different, and they offer such a different like emotion or action or cinematic aspect. Like, dude, they're bar none. They're the best boss fights I've ever experienced in my gaming career.
I can agree too that like the Peace Walker boss fights are not on here, which those were like probably the weakest boss fights.
Yeah.
But I will say there is a couple criminal omissions on here.
Ooh.
The fact that there's only one Metal Gear Solid 2 boss fight is like in Fat Man, like, don't get me wrong, it was unique. But I'm like, dude, what about the ending boss fight in Metal Gear Solid 2? Not only against Solidus, but like you're literally fighting, you know, other Metal Gear in 2, and that's not on here. I can agree with the Shagohod. That was a cool one. That was very cinematic. I get that. Metal Gear Rex was cool because, yeah, that was like the first time you fight like a 3D Metal Gear, you know, and even with the PlayStation 1 graphics, it is epic. Cyborg Ninja was cool just because of the whole, like, there's a little twist in there. It's not too crazy. But to me, like, I don't know, Sniper Wolf seems like the weird...
Yeah.
Outlier to me. I would replace that with another Metal Gear Solid 2 boss, just because like there's already what 1, 2, 3 there's 3 4 with Sniper Wolf Metal Gear Solid 1 bosses, which don't get me wrong, they're good, but yeah, I don't think Sniper Wolf was anything memorable. Like, yeah.
I mean, I would even argue that like Screaming Mantis from 4 should be on the list too.
That one was a cool one.
Yeah, I mean, see, that's the thing, too, is, like, all of the games also, all of the boss battles are vastly different.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's like a burden of choice here.
Yeah, except for, like, 1 to 2, and I think, obviously, like, having Metal Gear Rex on there is kind of just nostalgic versus it being, like, that amazing of a boss battle. Like, it's almost unfair, but, like, I would literally just throw in all of the boss battles for Metal Gear Solid 3 and then just... Yeah. And, you know, just rank those and then add the rest, because it's like, dude, that's how good they are. And I'm just biased, but that's how good they are.
Your top 10 and all the honorable mentions is basically everything else.
Dude, and then there's also a fucking epic boss battle of Metal Gears and Metal Gear Solid 4 that isn't on this list. And I don't want to spoil it. Well, I mean, you know, if the Volume 2 comes out and they include Metal Gear Solid 4, like, yeah, there's a Metal Gear fight in that. That is like, I almost was like, oh, I don't even want to play this game anymore. Like, it's
good. Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
right?
I just remembered.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying is like, you're going to put Metal Gear Rex over that. But
that's true. See, and that's the thing, too, is like, 4, it mimics 1. And it brings back a lot of like familiarity with boss battles, but they expand on them. So, again, it gives you like a way more refreshing take on them, but it's vastly different. But yeah, I mean, honestly, like, but really though, the end, the boss, and the sorrow out of, you know, Metal Gear Solid 3, like, they're absolutely incredible boss battles.
So would you say clickbait territory, or is this like a thumbs up list here?
It's
completely subjective, because as you can see, me and Alex disagree on it, and it's like, dude, anytime. I mean, working in this world and writing, and anytime you write a listicle, you're going to piss people off, and that's the point.
Yeah, you private your account afterwards, for sure, right?
I would say, other than the bottom half of the list, I believe, like, the top half, or at least the first four, there's some thought behind that. Like, it's not out of the realm of possibility that every Metal Gear fan wouldn't put those in some sort of order at the top.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah, I agree with that too. I don't think it's clickbait, but yeah, Metal Gear, the bosses in this whole series are very just, everyone's going to have a different top five. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think that's the beauty of Metal Gear. That's why it's like literally one of, if not my favorite gaming franchise of all time, is just that, like I said, I mean, I beat 1 fucking 20 times to get everything. I beat 2, you know, I wanted to get the dog tags. 3, I played an insurmountable amount of time on. 4 was just the sheer length of it just kept me, and, you know, I was getting older and shit. But, like, yeah, man, like, these games are just, like, definitely my top 3 gaming franchises. And Also, it'd be interesting to see if any of our listeners have any type of their own rankings. You know, go ahead and let us know.
Yeah,
that would be awesome to see, man. Like, if you guys play Metal Gear, give us your top five. Let's check it out.
Yeah, I mean, at least top five when this episode drops.
I mean, in the
comments.
We could put our own little post with your guys' each top 10. So let's see.
And honestly, if I'm being truly honest, I would probably amend the list even further and put the Sara at the top, because after I played that boss, I watched the video of it. I watched the cinematic. I still watch it. Like, I still, like, I'll just randomly think of it and I'll send Alex a GIF or whatever. But, like, dude, it's such, God damn it. Like, you need to.
I hear your voice, James. I hear your voice.
Four days? 6 days when it comes out? Like, fuck. Another $60 right there, dude.
I can't wait for you to play this game, Quinn. Like, Metal Gear Solid 3 is. It's just an incredible fucking game. It really is.
I'm going to make my way through it. It's on the list. It's on the list. It's this ever-growing fucking backlog, but all right. All right, we'll see. IGN, respectable job. Clearly, you guys are fans, at least, but we got some takes. We got some takes at the NPC podcast. All right. Well, we're getting there, guys. Right before we head out, what are you playing? I always take it first, anyways.
Let's mix it up. I'll go first. Want me to go first? I'll go first.
Oh, Jesus, that guy.
You think you're God, bro? You're not God, bro.
Mine go first, bro. You're not God.
No, I've been playing Mortal Kombat 1 still. It's awesome. You know, we didn't even mention it, but the fucking Omni-Man trailer dropped.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Dude, awesome. I forgot that's supposed to be part of our news.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that looked good. That looked good.
Yeah, like, if they made Omni-Man look that good, I cannot fucking wait for Homelander and Peacemaker, dude. Like,
oh my God.
It looks awesome.
Peacemaker's fatality is going to be fucking awesome.
I just want a fatality of Homelander just jerking off on a fucking skyscraper saying I can do whatever the fuck I want, you know? But, yeah, I've been playing that. Fucking still awesome. I love it. I mean, you know, not a big fighting game guy, but still, dude, just something about Mortal Kombat. Just it's easy to pick up and play. You don't have to learn it. Like crazy timing combos, you can still fuck around. And then also, out of nowhere, I don't know why, I just decided to boot up the good old Elden Ring for some Soulsborne because of messing around in that Lies of Pi, which Fwen will elaborate on. But, you know, I got back into Elden Ring. I started up, redid my character a little bit, and next thing you know, dude, 6 hours went by. So, those, though, will be put on the back burner in about an hour with our 2 hours with Spider-Man 2 coming out. We'll be playing that. So.
Yeah. And you know what? It's so hilarious, too, because, yeah, I actually had a couple hours at Lies of P. And
the first boss?
No. I actually just stopped playing the game. I went to my gaming library and re-downloaded Elden Ring. Yeah. It just felt like a sloppier Souls. Like, it seemed fine.
It's not bad. Like,
not bad,
no. I was messing with it, and I'm like, all right, it's a little Sekiro. It's a little Bloodborne-ish. But I'm like, yeah, I just wanted the Elden Ring for some reason, and I just, yeah.
It was just shy of FromSoft. Yeah, I'm with you. Like, I don't know something about it. It was good. Like, it's definitely an enjoyable time. Yeah. But, like, Soulsborne, there's, like, a delicate way of doing it, and I think this was just kind of traditional. Like, you gotta really distinguish. I think the Surge games are amazing. Those are great soul style games, but they're also very different than what you would get from software. This didn't seem, you know, it seemed like the B tier to me after a while, and I was like
a game that you play when there's nothing else to play, right?
Yeah,
that's how it felt to me too,
and it made me want to play Elden Ring again, so I downloaded it again. I made also a little bit of progress in separate ways, but I've had the busiest fucking week, so I haven't had a chance to do much. Again, but when I play it, I'm like, okay, dude, you're going to lose hours here. You got to stop because it's just so engaging. It's a very good game. Caught some more shiny Pokemon, and then actually I used my Switch points to get Quake 2, which is really fucking fun. I love the Quake games. Honestly, those old PC games, just they do something for me.
Dude, on the Switch, I think Quake 1 has like a horde mode that I was fucking around with, and next thing you know, like 45 minutes went by.
Dude, I have Quake 1 also. I'm down. Let's fucking take it. Let's do a couple of hordes, because it plays so good.
Yep, on Switch is cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so those are my games. James, what you got?
Surprisingly, because I've just been waiting for Spider-Man 2, I ended up booting up Hades again for the first time in a long time, and I beat it.
Hey!
Damn!
I quote-unquote beat it, because that game has an insane amount of replayability but I beat it, and now I'm in this new area of it, if you will, and it's still goddamn good. It's just a good game.
I'm going to get a soundbite of you saying, I beat it.
What are you playing it on, the PlayStation, Switch?
Or no, I got it on the Switch. I got it on the Switch a long time ago, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one I got. I have it on the Switch.
Same.
I was obsessed with it when it first came out, and then, you know, my usual fashion, something else came out, and I was like, ooh, new game. But yeah, I didn't get through, without spoilers, the boss, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that finally, which was awesome. And now I'm like, more stories getting... It's just, yeah, it's a game that you think is going to end and then it doesn't. You're like, this is awesome.
Yeah. I would say it's like probably my favorite roguelike that I've played. Like, something about it is just so accessible.
Yeah, hands down. And honestly, I was like, I need to get through this at least, most of it, so that way I am prepared for the sequel, which is coming out next year, I think. But yeah, it's great. It's a fun-ass game. And I've been on that the last couple of days. But honestly, again, it's just a placeholder for the next hour and 26 minutes. Or 2 hours and 26 minutes.
2 hours 26, yep. I'm with you. Okay, cool. Well, Gaming Win of the Month and Gaming Fail. I'm actually going to include both of mine in one fell swoop right here. Because they're pretty simple. Honestly, knowing that I can use my Switch voucher to get this game after seeing the reviews and whatever it is for Mario Wonder, that was a good feeling. Not having to actually scrounge up and really pay for it. And Nintendo games don't really go down in price, so when is the Nintendo Switch voucher? Honestly, might get it next year too. I imagine it would be very useful, and you save me a couple bucks. I'm with it. Way to go, Nintendo. Probably one of your better moves. Let's keep the train going. Fail of the month is absolutely Starfield. Now that I've had some time away from it, honestly, just deleting it felt good.
It felt fine. It's missing that thing, right? It's missing that, like, Bethesda, Skyrim, Fallout type of, like, just urge to keep going.
Dude,
right?
Urge to keep, that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's the urge to keep going. Too many goddamn menus. And the cool thing about those games, Skyrim and Fallout, everything, you put a waypoint or you don't, but you can walk and you can just be a part of the world. Mm-hmm. This does not have that at all. It's not a part of this gameplay loop, and all you're left with is just regular Bethesda combat and leveling, which is just okay. Without that exploring, it doesn't feel so organic, like discovering things, and like it just feels like...
Yep.
I don't know. There's just a big thing missing with this game. I even looked at like my Game Pass stuff when I was looking for Lies of P. And I saw Starfield, and I was like, I could read down. Yeah, fuck that. Like, that was the easiest decision that I made. I was like, no, I'm not doing it. Yeah, it's fine.
Wait. Did you ever get on Cyberpunk fun?
No. Actually, it makes me want to play Cyberpunk now.
I'm telling you. When I played, I jumped from Starfield into Cyberpunk, and I'm like, why am I playing a 30 frames per second game when Cyberpunk looks this fucking good? Like, So I was able to secure when it was only $5 on Best Buy, I think, was selling it. Okay. So, yeah, dude. I mean, Cyberpunk, try it. It'll fix your Starfield fucking...
It's on the list?
It's definitely a game that you want to keep going back to.
Okay.
Like, the story's incredible. There's... Yeah, it's completely different game now, so I highly recommend it as well.
All right, cool. That's again, I would like a first-person open-world replacement. I think that'd be the next on the list. So, yeah. All right, what do you guys got? Win, fail, blah, blah.
Gaming win of the month, it's Spider-Man 2 Day. Even though this episode's going to drop when it's already way past Spider-Man 2 Day. But you know what? In 2 hours and 23 minutes, it's Spider-Man 2 Day.
Because it's dropping today.
It's dropping today. And I am ridiculously excited, and I can't wait to play it. And then my gaming fail of the month, which is
That's cool.
Something
just
that
my fucking win. All right, that's what's up. Keep going.
Friend did both.
I did both.
Oh, you did both. Oh my
Bad.
I wasn't paying attention to you.
Yeah. How about you pay attention?
That's my bad.
Dude.
All right, my bad.
Before I was rudely interrupted. My fail of the month is this new Skull Island Rise of Kong video game that I wrote about, and I was sent a strong-worded email by Legendary about it.
Send him the podcast link when you're done, too.
That's so good.
It dropped, and I mistakenly said that it was part of the Monsterverse, which it is not, and I was emailed by the PR department of Legendary and asked to alter the article, which I did. It was very funny, and by the time this episode drops, I would have moved into my new job, so at this point I don't care, but it was a really funny parting gift for them to email me.
Jesus.
So basically...
Wait, real quick.
You're killing me here, dude.
You should have sent them back the Kong gift that you... I mean, the Kong meme you've been sending to the group. You should have replied to Legendary's email with that picture, dude.
Oh, that'd be great.
Oh, my God. So... It was really funny. So anyway, so this game came out, and it's called Skull Island Rise of Kong. So in my head, I didn't really research it, except for I pulled up videos of it. I was like, this is like a game that's based on the Monsterverse. So it is 100% not. even though it shares a name similar to Kong Skull Island, it was made by Game Mill Entertainment, who takes these really big IPs and... they get dragged online all the time. Like, but funny enough, they're the ones that made the Nickelodeon Brawler game.
Oh.
So, this game came out, and it's awful. It's $40, and it looks like it belongs on the PlayStation 1.
Damn.
People are putting side-by-side pictures of the new Kong game versus King Kong 2 on PlayStation 2, and they look similar.
Wow.
And the combat is terrible. Like, the ridiculous faces that Kong makes that everybody's been screenshotting and that we've been sending in our own thread are everywhere. It's a fucking and it's $40. Not 20, not 30. It's a $40 game, and by all accounts it should look remotely okay, but it does not. IGN just gave it a 3, and I don't even know why they released this game, but in my mistake, if you will, Legendary was like, yeah, we're not associated with this, so we want your article to reflect that. And I said, sure. So I altered it to be like, this game is trying to capture the popularity of the Monsterverse, but it's not associated with the Monsterverse.
They're like, don't associate it with that piece of shit. That was Barry's fucking call on that one. We should have never given the rights.
Basically, and yeah, so yeah, if you... want a good laugh, please go look up the videos on Twitter or anywhere. Just type in Skull Island Rise of Kong, and I guarantee you will be laughing your ass off.
Yeah, these screenshots are already looking horrifying.
This is a game that came out in 2023, and it costs $40. I guarantee you'll laugh. And I also got a huge laugh out of it by Legendary contacting me. So there you go.
That Legendary story right there.
Maybe it's a fail and a win, because it fails because that game sucks, and it's a win because that was one of the funniest things that's happened to me in my career so far.
So we're not associated with them, and just send back the meme, dude, of Kong just looking all wide-eyed, like, huh?
Oh, yeah.
The people at Legendary Pictures had a meeting about you. Just so you know. That happened. They're like, we can't have this press going out, people confusing the shit. It's just, yeah. Wow, that's great. All right.
So my win is, like we mentioned earlier, Halo Infinite finally getting a firefight mode called King of the Hill, where it looks like, you know, there's another objective where you gotta hold... It mixes multiplayer and PvE, which is cool in my eyes. I always like those kind of modes because, you know, PvP sometimes can get a little annoying, getting hate mail or all that, you know, getting called derogatory terms by... 10-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the King of the Hill firefight, it looks cool. Halo Infinite does have a nice feeling gameplay.
And yes, very.
I've been really, really waiting for when they add that PvE element, which is, you know, what the firefight mode is going to add. And also, there are people already forging, you know, the custom map making in Halo. They're forging firefight modes already with the AI that 343... Studios released yesterday, so people are already hard at work at that. I also actually saw a custom, someone online is taking it into their own hands and making a Halo Battle Royale custom game mode using this AI technology. So yeah, that looks cool. I'm gonna check that out when it releases. And then the fail, it was almost a news article, but we had a lot of news. Warner Brothers. It was recently revealed that they rejected a pitch for a Mortal Kombat versus DC animated movie.
Oh.
Damn.
Boo.
And, an underrated game that brought us Injustice series was Mortal Kombat vs. DC, and they were going to make that a movie. DC, I believe, was going to make that a movie. And NetherRealm wanted to make that a movie. Mm-hmm. And Warner Brothers, the parent company of DC, was like, yeah, we're good, Doug. So that's a fail.
Missed opportunity for sure.
Yeah. I believe the Injustice movie wasn't really good, but that probably had no NetherRealm input whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But the NetherRealm animated movies aren't that bad. I saw the one about Scorpion's Revenge. I mean, it's gory as fuck. It's cool. I mean, it's not bad for a little hour and a half movie. But I believe they released 3 or 4. I've only seen like 2 of them. And the 2 I saw, I mean, you know, they're animated movies. They look cool. That's all I'm there for is Mortal Kombat fatalities.
Yeah.
But yeah, the fact that we missed out on that was very disappointing to me. So we'll see if the WB switches on that.
Yeah, it's also like kind of a little bit of a bummer because the current DC animated movies, the rated R ones, there's been The Long Halloween and then Justice League War World, which are both very good. And it would have been great if Netherworld would have used that production team. I got to interview Jim Krieg, who worked on War World at Comic-Con. And, man, it would have been awesome if they would have... He would have been behind that movie, the Mortal Kombat and DC rated R movie. Huge missed opportunity, because that would have been awesome, because they've been making more adult animated DC movies and they've been fantastic. So that's a really big bummer.
Yeah, that's a fail. That is a fail. All right, well, shit. Get your shit together, Warner Brothers. that's a Zaslav move right there. Anyways, fucking Zaslav. No, it doesn't work.
Speaking of getting your shit together, I'll be right here.
Oh,
WWE superstar.
Yeah. All right, we're almost out of here with the absurd headline. I'll take this one. This is hilarious. WWE superstar Randy Orton reportedly paid someone $1,000 to level up his Elden Ring character. Revealed during an interview on Insiders TV, former WWE stars Mansoor, is that her name? And
Mansoor
and Mace, let it be known that Orton struggled during the early hours of the game. Yeah, no, it's fucking hard. I paid a guy like $1,000 to give me like infinite runes so I could just level up to 100 right away, said Orton.
Yeah, level 100 doesn't mean shit in Elden Ring 2.
No. You still gotta know the fundamentals, buddy. You can't RKO your way out of everything. That's not how it works.
I don't know Randy Orton's theme song, dude, but it has something to do with, like, I'm voices in my head. Like, yeah, you should have said that to start it fun, but yeah, that's funny.
Oh, yeah. No. Hey, you know what? He's doing Elden Ring every day in the ring, so it's fine. It's fine. He's putting himself on the line.
At least he's playing, you know?
Yes. Yes, that's true. he's like Stone Cold is the one that's about Zelda, so...
Yeah, I was going to say, a lot of the WWE superstars, dude, all they do is literally travel, wrestle, do drugs, and play video games.
Cody Rhodes is a big gamer, too, you know? And he is going to take out Roman in WrestleMania 40, baby. It's happening.
Oh, my God.
Just saying.
Sure, yeah.
All right, well, here you should have been like, yeah, but yeah.
Adrenaline in my...
Oh, my God. I almost went right into it. All right, we got to stop. All right, so with that, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the NPC Gaming Podcast. Of course, this has been a production of the Horrible People's Network, where you get a bunch of different great shows, like, of course, Turning Tables, Horrible People's Podcast, The Flagship, and Hops and Notes, and maybe a few more. We'll see. So with that, I'm your host, Anthony Fuentes. A pleasure being here with you. Look out for us in a couple of weeks. You can find me at Hyrulean Hustler on Instagram, and then you can also find me again at the Horrible People's Podcast. This is HORRORBLE People's Podcast. And upload every week. So, James, where can people find you?
You can also find me on one of the podcasts that is part of the Horrible People's Network, which is the Turning Tables Podcast. We are a live D&D playing podcast. I play a barbarian that bonks stuff. So if you want to hear that and follow our journey through... trials and tribulations and dragons and stuff, go take a listen. It's awesome.
All right. Cordova, any send-off here?
you guys can just, you know, follow us here on npc.gaming.pod, right? Is that it?
No, that's good. Yeah, npc.gaming.pod. Right. And, you know, if you'd like to give us any kind of money, we can get a new laptop. It's going to be fantastic.
Wait, hold on. Let me check one more time. Oh, yeah, it's good now.
It's good now. No, yeah, no, we're good. We're good.
I think I just have to turn on my laptop like maybe an hour before we actually start.
There you go.
And then we should be good.
Love
that. If you guys hear any buzzing or like a fan type of noise, I apologize. I'll get that wrapped up next episode. But yeah, let us know about the Metal Gear Solid rankings. If you guys agree with those, if not, you know, I mean, let's get a little civil discussion going on the Instagram post.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll post a poll. I'm genuinely interested because, like I said, Metal Gear Solid, very, very differentiating opinions. But, yeah, that's about it.
All right. Well, we're putting up a poll. We'll see what you guys think. And we'll see you guys in a couple weeks. Peace.
Got it.
Later.
Got it.